Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I want us to open the Word of God together, a solemn place in God's Word. And the Lord has truly, once again, spoken to my heart as we think about the great issues of eternity. And friend, that's what it's really all about. You and I are travelers to eternity. One of these days we'll leave aside this old world and we'll go our way to our eternal destiny. Those that are saved for heaven, those that are lost for hell. And I pray the Spirit of God will just open His Word to our hearts. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abram said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send, that thou sendest him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abram, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to speak upon subject this evening, a tragedy greater than 9/11. In the 9th, or the 11th of September, 2001, into the great World Trade Center in New York, the planes smashed in and the great tower centers fell. Some 3,000 people were ushered out into God's eternity. And friend, it was indeed a tragedy. And as we think of those families, and many families like them because of terrorism, we pray that it will never happen again. And yet the reality is this, that this old world of ours is filled with evil men and women who want to do harm and want to do hurt. And they seek to domineer by fear and bring people into fear of them and what tragedy they can bring. But I want to talk about something of greater tragedy. You say, what could be of greater tragedy than in a moment 3,000 souls could be ushered out into God's eternity? I want to tell you, my friend, every time the clock ticks, some precious soul is passing away. Every time, if you listen to the clock ticking on the wall, somewhere in the world, somebody is passing away. Away to their eternal destiny, either to heaven or to hell. And yet, man casts this aside. They blatantly defy the reality of God's eternity. Precious souls dying, lost in sin. You know, the devil has been so skillful. He's very crafty. The Bible talks about the serpent being subtlety, the subtlety of the serpent. And you know, the devil has the tool of skepticism when it comes to the things of God, and especially to the record of God's precious and God's infallible word. Be that as it may, The Word of God is very clear that you and I have a precious soul, that you and I are headed to eternity. And friend, some of these moments, even maybe tonight, God could say to you or to me, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Job, the old servant of God, said this, but man dieth, and where is he? What a solemn question. We sang a few moments ago the words of that hymn, where will you spend eternity? In reality, I suppose, I've always had a little thought about that, because in reality, you don't spend eternity. Because, my friend, you'll be out in eternity, because eternity will never be spent. It never will come to an end. And the sad reality is this, that when we come to the preaching of the old-fashioned message of the gospel, there are those who say to the preacher, you're out of touch, you're out of step with reality, you're foolish, you're ignorant. And the vast majority of preachers today have removed hell from the pulpit. They've removed hell and the reality of it. And they tell us, my friend, that there is a God of love. The God that they believe in is a God of love. My friend, let me tell you, I with all my heart believe in a God of love. And I'll tell you, I know, because God's love reached me. God's love reached me when I was in sin. Thank God the love and the grace of God reached this lonely, hell-deserving sinner. But this I also know, that the Bible tells me that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son is the God that says that there is a hell. There is an eternal place for those who are with Christ, because God is not only a God of love. God is a God of holiness. And God is a God of justice. And God is a God of truth. And my friend, I say to those preachers, I say to them, may God deal with your heart. Because the Word of God is very plain. And the Word of God is very clear. Let me say this tonight. I am not concerned what you think about hell. I am not concerned what men think about hell. I'm not concerned what the world thinks about hell. I'm not even concerned what I think about hell. Listen, friend, I'm concerned what God thinks about it. I'm concerned about what God says about hell. And God's Word is very clear. And when it comes to the Word of God and about hell, I want to make this clear tonight. I want only to be faithful to the God who called me to preach his unsearchable truth. Every philosophy, every opinion of men will perish, friend. But God's word abideth forever. The one I serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one that's speaking. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. And it says in verse number 1, and he said. So this is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord speaking. He said unto his disciples. And so we go down past down through the verses of this passage of God's word. And the Lord Jesus deals with the unjust steward. And he deals with covetousness. And you cannot serve God and mammon and all of these things. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says this in verse 19. There was a certain rich man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's speaking here. You know, many make light of hell. All the entertainers, they make their jokes, and the fools of the world laugh at them. About hell, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But let me tell you what God says, friend. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and him that sat him on him was death. And hell followed with him. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and on him, and the name of him that sat on him was death. And then it says these solemn words, and hell followed with him. What a solemn reality. Hell followed with him. I want you to listen to me solemnly tonight. I want you to let the world, my friend, go out of your mind. I want you to forget, my friend, the things that the devil would put in your heart and mind. I want you to give a few moments tonight. Ere you go out into God's eternity, stop in the Savior's name and listen. The name of him that sat on him was death. And then hell followed with him. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that every one of us will exist for all eternity. Every one of us tonight need to be ready to meet God. And when we die, friend, listen, our eternal destiny is sealed. No prayers, no masses, no gifts, nothing can avail them. If you die without Jesus Christ, you'll be in hell forever without Jesus Christ. If you're saved, thank God, you'll go to the mansions of glory. If you're unsaved, you'll go to the miseries of hell. And let me tell you, every single soul tonight in this meeting is on that journey to eternity. And friends, you're going to land in your destiny some of these moments. Tell me where you're going. Where are you headed to? Our blood wasn't unsaved. Friend, they're headed to hell. And we can laugh with them. And we can joke with them. But let me tell you, friend, every time that wee heart beats inside their breast, it's taking them closer to an eternal hell. You see, the person you meet tomorrow, friend, they're nearer hell than ever before. And so tonight I want us to simply go to the Word of God. And I want us to notice what the Word of God has got to say. There's three things I want us to notice here in this passage of God's Word. Look at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's his earthly experience. That's the earthly experience of this man. Now notice his wealth. It says there was a certain rich man. In other words, here this man is recorded in God's Word. The Savior knows all about him. And he reminds us that this man abounds in material resources. He is a wealthy person. Now, the Bible doesn't tell me how he got it. The Bible doesn't tell me anything about his upbringing. The Word of God doesn't tell me how he was brought up or the resources his parents had or the occupation he has. The Word of God simply says this: there was a certain rich man. There's nothing clearer than that. The Lord's not playing around here. There was this man. And yet you'll see something, friend, about this man. That the riches he had was in perishable things. He could take none of his wealth with him when he had to leave, because his wealth was only temporary. And I have no doubt whatsoever, his wealth impressed his friends. His wealth impressed his peers. There were those that wanted to be with him. There's those that wanted to be associated with him. Why? Because he was known as a wealthy man. Because the world craves after this earth's wealth. But unknown to that man, friend, every day he lived brought him one day closer to the loss of all that he had. There's a wee verse over, keep your hand there, in Jeremiah in the chapter 9. Let me show you. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord. Now this is important, God speaking here. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Friend, that's true riches. That's riches that's going to last. When you know the Lord, when you have a personal knowledge of the Lord, my friend, that's true riches. And praise God, tonight there are those in this service can say, preacher, I know Jesus. I might have little of earth's goods, I might have little of earth's wealth, but I know Jesus. Praise God, that's true wealth. Why, my friend? Because Jesus Christ, when it comes to death's valley, you don't have to leave Jesus behind. Praise God, Jesus goes with you all the way. You've got to leave everything else. Or you leave your riches. And friend, maybe you pile it up and somebody else will scatter it. To know me. Oh, that's true riches. Not only his wealth, notice his wardrobe. The word of God says there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. And so what does the Bible tell us here? You see, the wardrobe of this man emphasized or expressed his wealth. He was able to clothe himself with costly garments. The Bible says he was clothed in purple. Now, purple was a garment that was used for the outer or the upper garment. They would dress themselves in upper or outer garment. It was the garment that was worn by a wealthy person. It announced wealth. A prince would wear that. And notice it says here, he was clothed in purple and fine linen. In other words, the tense there is that that was his habitual clothing. I mean, he didn't put on just, you know, it for one day. You know, whenever you're going out to something very special, you'll get the old togs off you, you know, and you'll put on something special. You want to impress them at you, you know, or you have a wee bit anyhow, and you're looking good. That wasn't this man, friend. He was clothed. That was what he was daily clothed in. So that expressed the wealth of this man. Notice it says, he was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously. Notice the next word, every day. Every day. So we have looked at his wealth, we have looked at his wardrobe. Now, my friend, look at his wantonness, because the word of God says he fared sumptuously. What does that mean? Does that simply mean that there was plenty on the table? Does that mean that the table was always spread and there was always plenty? Yes, that's part of it, my friend. That's not the whole meaning of the word fared sumptuously. What that means is this, making merry in splendor. Making merry in splendor. In other words, his mansion was constantly filled with guests. Parties. Notice the next word. Every day. He lived a life of partying. Is that not the age that we're living in? Is that not the craving of society today? They don't really want to work. They would love to live a life of partying. They want to go from one club to the other, from one pub to the other, from one concert to the other. That's the life that people want to live. Well, hear this man, that's what he did. He lived sumptuously every day. Is that what you're looking for, young fella? I want to tell you, my friend, it referred not only to the best of food, it was his lifestyle it was referring. And the truth is this, that in Bible times, usually those kind of living and parties, like today, degenerate into sin. Wine, women, and song. That was the earthly experience, friend. You say, is that the whole story, friend? No, no, no. Go to verse 22. Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, you see, we're dwelling on him tonight. The rich man also died. And was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being torn. But notice what it says in verse 22. It says the rich man also died. There's his early exit. His early exit. You see, the ungodly live, friend. The ungodly man lives for this lifestyle of parting. And friend, let me tell you, he was in the midst of that. He really believes that somehow it's never going to end. He fools himself into thinking that this is what life's going to be. It's never going to come to an end. It's always going to be this. I want to tell you, my friend, the party will be over someday. Don't let the devil fool you, my friend. Wine, woman, and song. Don't let the devil say, that's what life is all about. The party will be over someday. God will end the party. And you'll be the fool. My, to spend your life upon nothing. To waste your talents upon nothing. To live your life with a devil, friend, and then to go to hell with him for all eternity. What a fool. When you could experience life eternal with Jesus Christ forevermore and the peace of God on the journey, which passeth all understanding. You see, regardless of your wealth or anything else, friend, listen, the rich man also died. You've got to die, friend. We all have to go. We're not here forever. The Word of God says we all must needs die. Neither richness or poverty will prevent death. For the grim reaper is no respecter of persons. And many shake their heads. And many bury their heads in the sand, friend. And friend, let me tell you, every day the paper will include somebody's name, but that's not me. And friend, you see, in that newspaper, there's not only old people. There's young people too. I and some, in the midst of partying, in the midst of the pleasures of the world, and in a moment, they're gone. Let me tell you this. Death will always come too soon. That's why I said the early exit. Because death will always come too soon for the unsaved man. It'll always come too soon. Because it will find him unready. Men and women, listen to me tonight. Young people, listen to me tonight. Death puts things in their proper perspective. You see all the verse 19. Rich. Purple. Fared sumptuously every day. Tell me, friend, what does it mean now? The rich man also died. Tell me, what does it mean? What emptiness. What emptiness. And yet, that's what he lived for. Every day. My, you think tonight, if only you could live, if only you could get to a place that you could have that every day. My, wouldn't you have arrived? If only that would be the reality for you, my friend. Surely that would be the ultimate. Every day, living sumptuously, faring sumptuously, merrily living in splendor. Purple garments, richness. And yet, my friend, let me tell you, when you come to the verse 22, and the rich man also died. She does not mean this. What's it all been for? What now? What now? I have no doubt whatsoever, friend. Let me tell you. It says in the Word of God, notice this, the rich man also died and was buried. Now, in the Bible times when the Lord Jesus was speaking, burial was an honor. Rich men would have their elaborate tombs. It was an honorable place. And I have no doubt whatsoever, friend. For this man, there was a funeral procession. I have no doubt the family shed their tears. I have no doubt whatsoever that some man stood at his grave or stood to preach and told what a wonderful man he was. And if he did that, He was a liar. Because this is what Jesus said. Look at the next verse. Verse 23. And in hell. I'll tell you, my friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking there, we have looked at the earthly experience. We have looked at the early exit. We look at his eternal existence. Where is he? Well, Jesus tells us where he is. Yes, the question was asked. A man dieth and wasteth away. Where is he? Where is he, Lord? Where did this rich man get to? Where is his eternal existence and destiny? And Jesus speaks, and in hell. That's where he is. He's in hell. As I look at that, my friend, let me tell you, I see his place. Hell. My, what a destination for him. What an end. What an end to life. Hell. The abode of the ungodly until the day of judgment. And then notice what it says, keep your hand there, turn over to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation number chapter 20, it says this. Verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Look at verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according, every man according to his work. And then it says this, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The sea gave up the dead which were in them. My friend, the bodies that are in the sea, they rise from it. And the souls that are in hell and in the grip of death, and they join together and they go out into the lake of fire which burneth with fire forever. And forever. Oh, in this place, notice his consciousness. Notice the awareness of this man, because I'll tell you this, he was a conscious man. For the Word of God says this, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abram afar off. He can see. And Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. Yes, he can speak. And he heard the answer, for he could hear. And the Bible says he was in torments. He could feel the consciousness of a lost soul for all eternity. Oh, you know, the old devil says to people, what you do is this. When you die and close your eyes in death, you go to the grave and sure, that's it all over. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the devil, friend. It's only beginning. You've had a wee short journey down here of earthly existence, but the place that you're headed to is your eternal destiny. It's the place that the Word of God says is outer darkness. In other words, away from. Away from. It is absolute separation from the very presence of God forever. In the blackness and darkness forever. His place. Notice his petitions. And very quickly tonight, you should notice that he prayed three times in hell. Let me tell you, there are many a person in a prayer meeting and they never open their mouth. I'll tell you this. You see, when you get to hell, it'll be one of the greatest prayer meetings there ever was. And I'll tell you, they're all dead earnest. In the darkness and blackness forever. The earnestness of their petitions. And he prayed three things. He said this. Notice what it says in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. he cried for relief and sent Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He cried for relief. Now notice what he didn't. He didn't cry for release. It was relief. Because he knew there was no way out. There was no release. And men and women, let me tell you this. And young people, if you die without Jesus Christ and go to hell, you're there forever. There's no release. And so the man in the darkness and in the loneliness of a Christless eternity, he cries out and he says, Father Abram, have mercy upon me. Mercy. Send Lazarus. Dip his finger in water. Good man. Notice what he said. Father Abram. You see, notice he was eager to claim identification with Abram. And you know, the Jewish religious leaders of Christ's day, they felt that their relationship to Abraham really was their ticket to heaven. And there are many people tonight who really think that their relationship with the church is their ticket to heaven. I want to tell you this, friend. No church can save. It's only Christ. They didn't see that their eternal destiny was linked not to a physical relationship with Abraham. It was a saving relationship with God in Christ. And he cried, Father Abram, he cried, have mercy. Notice the earnest there. He cried. Never mentioned him crying before, friend. It was part of him. It was all laughter. It was all a big joke. And now he's crying. You and I can't hear the cries. Listen to me carefully, friend. You and I can't hear the cries of a lost soul in hell tonight. But dear sinner, you will. You will. And in the blackness and darkness, among the lost, not only will you hear the cries of lost souls, you will cry too. Have mercy on me. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't joking when he said that in hell it would be a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He was talking about reality. What an awful lament for him. Have mercy. Isn't it a pity he didn't call for mercy when he was here upon this earth? Because let me tell you this, had he done so, praise God, that he would have received mercy. But he didn't see his need of mercy then. He was too busy partying. Remember the man in the scriptures who cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Thank God he went down to his house justified, just as if he never had sinned. Friend, you can call on God for mercy tonight. You can call on God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Take your place as a sinner. Acknowledge that only Jesus Christ can save you. But let me tell you this, listen to me carefully. The day of mercy for this man had passed. He was crying for mercy when it was too late. I want to tell you, God is great in mercy, but the mercy of God, listen to me carefully, is not limitless. The Word of God says this, behold, now is the accepted time. The Word of God says, behold, now is the day of salvation. And he said, God, please be merciful. And will you send Lazarus? You know what he asked for? He asked for Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Friends, let me tell you this. The smallness of the request that he made signified the greatness of the suffering that he endured. That even one drop of water could bring some relief. Dear unsaved person in this meeting tonight, the gospel preacher stands and preaches the word of God. I'll tell you this. Die in your sin and you would to God that you had an opportunity to sit under a gospel preacher again, but it won't come. Die in your sin, friend, to listen to the person who handed you out a gospel tract and perhaps you crumbled it up and you put it in your pocket. I'll tell you this, in hell you'll remember it and you'll would to God you had an opportunity to reach into your pocket again and take the gospel tract out and I'll tell you you'd read it. But it's too late. He cried, God, have mercy on me. But friend, the day of mercy was past. And he not only prayed for relief, he prayed for his relatives. Because very quickly, he said this. Verse 27. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to the place of torment. He was not only a man, friend, who was convicted or conscious. He was a man who was concerned. He's concerned. He was concerned about his brethren. Isn't it amazing? The man with a missionary spirit. A man who has a love for souls now. It's a man that's down in hell, lost for all eternity. And he's burdened for the lost. He has five brethren. And they're on their way to hell. Let me tell you tonight, there are God's people in the meeting tonight. And the five brethren that are on their way to hell and are having a burden. And here's a man in hell and he's burdened for his loved ones. Can I ask you a question? Are you? Tell me, how burdened are you? How burdened are you? He says, send them to my brethren. Let me ask you this, are you burdened enough to try and get them in under the gospel to see them saved? I'll tell you this, he was burdened to get them under the word of God to see them saved. He says, send them. I want to tell you this. If you and I are to reach our loved ones, friend, we do it in time. Eternity is too late. Send them. Notice what he says. Send them to my brethren that he may testify unto them. I'll tell you, I wonder, did he hear a testimony? Did he hear somebody giving this testimony down the street and he sneered at him? What a fool standing to testify. He hadn't much time for testimonies in time, had he? But he longs for testimonies now. If somebody would only testify. If Lazarus would only testify. But notice the answer. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What was that, friend? They had the word of God. You remember the Lord Jesus Christ? And he was walking on the road to Emmaus. And there on the road to Emmaus, in Moses and the prophets, he spake all things concerning himself. They had the word of God. Let me tell you this, my friend. Listen to me carefully. Because the word of God points you to Christ. This book points you to Jesus. Listen to me carefully. It wasn't Lazarus they needed. Jesus. And there are men and women, let me tell you this, and they get their eyes upon men. And sometimes people get their eyes on the preacher. Maybe even on this preacher. Friends, let me tell you, I don't save. I can't save. But Jesus can. Lastly, He prayed for relief. He prayed for his relatives. And then he prayed an interesting prayer. He prayed for repentance. He said this, look at verse 30. He said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." He longed for them to repent. You know what that tells me? That tells me, here's a man that has a gospel upbringing. Here's a man who knows the Word of God. For he knew what they needed to do to be saved was to repent, to get to heaven. Remember what John cried out? "Except ye repent, you'll perish." Repent ye, says the Lord Jesus Christ, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter said, "Repent and be converted for the remission of your sin." This man had a Bible knowledge, and yet he's in hell. Is there someone listening to me tonight? And friend, before God, you have a Bible knowledge. You know all of these things. You know the story, Luke 16. You could have told me the story before we started. Yet you're not saved. Listen, he was a conscious man. He was a concerned man. Aye, and even he was a convicted man, knowing he wanted his brothers to be saved. But he was a condemned man. For the answer was nay. Out of Christ, without a Savior, dark will the journey be. Friend, I beg you tonight, repent. Turn from your sin. May God, by His Holy Spirit, give you grace to turn from your sin and cry out tonight, lest you die in your sin and be lost. God, oh God of heaven, God of glory, be merciful to me, the sinner, and save me. Only Jesus can. May you come to Him for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We pray that by Thy Holy Spirit, that Thou will make this Word live with power in the hearts of those that are gathered here. We pray that young and old may be concerned and convicted. Oh, that they might be convinced and converted. Lord Jesus, save them for the glory of Your great name. As every head is bowed and eyes closed, friend. Meeting will be over in a moment. I beg you, listen to me carefully. You have a soul to be saved. May this truth be engraved in your heart and your mind while you're young. Oh, how awful the cost if your soul should be lost, and in hell, if you die as you are. Is there someone tonight you say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to hell"? Let me tell you, then you've got to come to Jesus. "I don't want to die in my sin"? Then you've got to run to Jesus. You've got to trust Him. You've got to go rest your soul upon the finished work of His cross. That's the only way. Will you come to Him? As every head is bowed and eyes are closed and God's people are praying. And we sing that little verse in closing. "Just as I am, O Lamb of God, I come." Up there in the gallery or downstairs. I beg you in God's name. Think on this great eternal issue. A tragedy. Worse than 9/11. Your lost soul. Going to hell, just as I am. As we sing this little verse, friend, just lift the hand above your head, indicate the desire. "Just as I am without one." Is there someone in our gathering tonight you say, "Preacher, lead me to Christ"? Up there in the gallery or downstairs, would you just lift that hand above your head, young person or older person? "But that thy blood was shed for me." Is there someone tonight, before we close, I beg you in God's name, don't leave this house without getting this settled. Friend, we're talking about your eternity, your eternal destiny. I've been in the minister's room. I beg you, don't leave without the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and speak to us. We'll gladly point you to Jesus. Heavenly Father, by thy Holy Spirit, write thy word on every heart. Turn a man and woman to the Lord Jesus tonight and save them for all eternity. I ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please don't go away without Jesus. We're here to help you. May God save you for Jesus' sake.